Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing is brought to you by Influential, a strategic consultancy that takes the guesswork out of influencer marketing for your brand. We provide much-needed strategically crafted frameworks on how to implement influencer campaigns specific to your brand needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations about Influencer Marketing. And as usual, besides my co-host, whom I love, we've got a special guest, and she is a media superstar. Kriya, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Fantastic. It's always nice seeing you.
And my co-host, as usual, is Anne. Anne, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I've got a bit of a throat thing going on right now, so my voice goes a bit weird. When I do a sneaky cough, please just excuse it.
No worries. We'll excuse you this time around.
Thank you.
Let's just jump right into it. Because this one is an interesting one.
It's a very interesting one. And it's been hot on the lips of everyone in the industry.
So fashion brand Zara launched an online store, first ever in South Africa. And they literally set the airwaves and the internet on fire. And today we want to discuss the nuts and bolts of that campaign.
But before we do that,
yeah,
let's let Kriya tell us who she is.
Yeah, she will.
Please,
she
will. Come on.
I'm introducing this to the audience.
To the people.
She's too special. So, yeah. So basically what we want Kriya to do is to take us through her experiences, the nuts and bolts of the campaign, whether it was effective in the end. Did it set hearts alight and did it set wallets alight?
Yeah, did we spend our money?
Yeah, exactly. Kriya, please introduce yourself first. And let's find out who you are and why you are a media superstar.
Perfect. So my name is Kriya Gangia. I've been in radio and television for going on about 13, 14 years now.
Okay.
Been in the media industry since I was a little teeny tot, you know, back on kids' TV.
Ooh. I used to watch you on kids' TV. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And now, obviously, I've grown up a little bit and have started taking on this wonderful world of media and influence marketing.
Yeah.
I've also started my very own boutique digital agency.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Tridens Media.
All right.
Which works with brands, trying to get them into the digital space and, of course, pair them with a couple of very cool influencers
here and there.
Yeah. So what was your involvement with Zara on this campaign?
So from this campaign, which was actually quite cool, is that this one took on life from my media background, from being seen as an influential person in the industry.
Yeah. But you are, Kira. We know this. You influence me all the time.
So I was one of the lucky 600 influencers.
Wait.
Staggering.
600 influencers.
That's a lot of influence.
It's a logistical nightmare.
Just going through my mind.
I was one of the 600 that got to work on this campaign. And essentially, we were recruited to try out Zara's store for the very first time, which was actually quite nice of them. They kind of sneakily did it because not only did they get great influencers involved in the brand, they got to test out their logistics, they got to test out the online store.
Yeah.
So they kind of could see this little twigs or niggles that they could fix before it actually went live to the actual public.
Perfect.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so what was Zara's objectives? I think one of main objectives for it was obviously for people to go into their online store, but also to be aware that there is an online store.
So one of the things in South Africa is that I think South Africans are not online shopping savvy as of yet.
No.
We're all getting right there, but not 100%. Like, I speak to friends of mine that are still very worried about, am I going to get the right size? Is it going to fit right?
Have you seen the memes? I think they make it worse. Eh? What I ordered versus what I received. Man.
I'm one of those people who don't like buying clothing online, just purely because of what you just said.
Yeah.
Because sizes are so different across different brands.
Exactly.
And also, then the quality of the garment for me. I want to touch it so I can see you know what, this is quality. I'm going to spend my money on it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, most of them will deliver it, and if it's wrong, you can obviously return it. But come on, the admin involved in that.
It's a mission. Yeah. Even if they do it for free, which I know a lot of the brands do.
Yeah,
cool, buy from us, we'll send it to you. If you don't like it, you can send it back to us within 7 days. Ugh. We'll send a courier. Now I must repack it into the box, wait until someone's at home with the courier,
that's a lot of work,
send it back, get a refund or a credit, and then do the shopping again.
I honestly think that a lot of people forget to do that, or they just don't bother. And then the expiration, and then they've got their money, you can't wear the clothes. Nah, I don't want to do a month shopping for clothes.
So I think what Zara really went out there is to do is not only, like you said, introduce the South African market to the online store, but also show that it's an easy process. You can still get those quality goods that this premium brand has to offer in stores without having to go into the store itself. And if you know your size and you kind of know what you're looking for, it's there. What they've done very nicely about the online store, which is different to a lot of other stores, is it's not just a random girl standing upright in a jacket. It's people physically wearing it. There's models that are posing with it. And it's really giving you a feel of what the garment is, how it flows, how it looks. Yeah. And I think that's what helped really change it for Zara.
And I suppose also Zara being a premium brand, and most people, not all, but most people are aware of the brand and has probably bought one or two pieces or have been in store, already knows the quality. So you're more likely to shop online for that. Okay, great. So do you know what the strategy of the campaign was? So was there a lot of PR, marketing behind it, and kind of influencers supported that messaging? Or was it the influencer campaign was kind of the lead on this?
So the influencer campaign was definitely the lead. I think what the, let's call it the facilitator did. So there's a beautiful app that's now coming to South Africa called Humans. It's an Israeli company that has now started, you know, spreading its feet throughout the world. And one of the bases that they've now started building is South Africa.
Okay.
So this was the biggest campaign that Humans did, or their first big campaign.
So up to date.
That Humans did. And essentially what the app does is it provides a platform for anyone. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a sports person, a media personality. You can be the average Joe on the street with 10,000 followers or 5,000 followers.
So nano influencers, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. All the way up to a couple of million followers.
So you can be a Bonang.
You can be a Bonang. Yes. And essentially you fill out a form, you register on the app, and then the app sends you briefs. So a client like Zara would go to Humans saying, listen, we want 600 nano influencers from the corners of South Africa. We want to go all the way to the Koffiefonteins and the Titties Bay and, you know, go into all the small towns
where you don't have a brick and mortar store. That
Precisely.
Makes sense to me.
Precisely. And they want to bring in the everyday person, because Bonang is not the only person who shops at Zara.
Does she shop at Zara?
If she even shops at Zara. You know what I'm saying? So it's not not only the super famous, the super rich. It's everyone that can or wants to go into Zara. We'll go into Zara and shop.
Yeah.
And that's what I think Humans did. It connected the everyday person to this campaign. So they wanted 600 influencers, which was quite interesting, is a minimum of 5,000 followers.
Okay, so we're going to the micro space.
Yes.
Great, okay.
A minimum of 5,000 followers. And you must sort of have an interest in fashion or, you know...
Style.
Style or nice photos. And you didn't have to be male. You are only female. They did males as well.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah.
So it was open to anyone who'd kind of had an interest in fashion.
Okay.
You would then apply, say, cool, I'm interested in this campaign.
Yeah.
Off would go your profile to the selection committee.
Yeah.
And the selection committee would look through it and go, okay, cool, this girl is really nice, this gentleman is really nice, we like this, blah 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 blah.
Is the selection committee part of Zara or part of Humans?
Part of Zara and part of Humans.
Okay.
But it was majority done by the guys from Humans.
Okay.
All right.
And they had quite a big team. They had like 4 odd people that were looking at the different influencers. Because, I mean, when you're looking for 600 influencers.
Yeah, that's quite a lot. That's...
And also, girl, let's not lie. Sometimes, and I'm sure you see it a lot in your space as well, when there is a brief put out that says, like, we're looking for influencers for a campaign. It's launched in 2 months. This is the criteria. Literally, people who don't even meet the criteria will just apply. Just to try their luck.
True.
So you have to vet and go through that, right?
So, they went through this whole process. They picked out their 600 from, like I said, the tiny towns all the way up to your metropolitan cities, your big cities.
Yeah.
And they found these 600 people, and they were sent a voucher for R1,200.
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
Yeah.
And
not bad.
Essentially, they were then allowed to shop. I think it was 2 days before the store actually opened to the South African public.
Which is okay. Also nice because you get that premium VIP
experience. Oh, look, I saw it
which
first.
Also is great for strategy because if you make your influencers feel special and like they're getting something that others aren't, they are more likely to talk about your brand online and brag about it.
Exactly, yeah. And what did you use your voucher to purchase?
I actually bought a beautiful jacket, but let me actually tell you how I built my campaign.
Yes, please. Right. I think that's very interesting.
Because I'm someone who likes to give brands a little bit extra, like show them that as much as you make me feel special, I'll make you feel special too.
And I mean, that's important, right?
Yeah, that's
because
a fair exchange.
You're building your own brand. So you want to give brands, here's a tip, influencers, or if you're listening, go a little bit of that extra mile. Mm-hmm. Be courteous, be professional, and give them a little bit more because chances are you'll be memorable and they'll probably get you on another camera.
Exactly.
So I started with my package arrived. What's quite interesting is my dog's name is Zara.
No way.
Oh, man.
Was she named after the store?
No, it was kind of a weird. She just fitted with the word and then.
Does she look like a Zara?
Yeah, she looks like a Zara. And then I think it was, 2 years after that, Zara actually came to South Africa as a store. So it was quite a strange thing. So Zara helped me open my Zara bag. And she's part of my whole video and stuff like that. So the initial package comes. I open the package, saw it, cool. This is 1,200 Rand. We're going to do some shopping, et cetera, et cetera. Then went through the store, videoed my process of going through the store, picking out what I wanted, and then picked two items. It was either a beautiful yellow pants, which I'm still going to go and buy from Zara.
Oh my God, you have to. You absolutely have to.
Yeah. Or a fuchsia pink jacket. Then put that up onto my social media saying, these are my options. I'm thinking either yellow pants or fuchsia pink jacket. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Had my followers vote for it. They voted for the fuchsia pink jacket. Put the order through.
I actually saw you wearing it the other night. And it is gorgeous.
Exactly. And then I actually filmed an episode for my TV show in it, posted about that, wore it to another brand event the other night, which the theme was Touch of Pink.
Which, guys, I don't own anything pink, so I literally pitched up all black with pink lips.
So did a full circle of the experience, what it was like from the process of starting in the store to receiving my package to wearing it.
So your objective was obviously to show your followers how easy it was and seamless the process was.
Yes. Yeah. And the nice thing about my followers is I enjoy the fact that I like a few luxurious things, whether it be cars or holidays or clothing. So my followers want to see that I'm going to be spending this kind of money because it's not a cheap store it's quite an expensive brand. So if I'm going to be spending my money, I'm going to get the quality and I'm going to get the experience out of it that I enjoy.
Yeah.
Correct. So just take a step back to you men's and actually kind of recruiting 600 influencers. It still blows my mind. How do they go by, or did they go by kind of analyzing audiences to make sure that they're reaching the kind of right target market for Zara, and also just to make sure that that target market is aligned with the influencers, because that's obviously extremely important.
So what's really nice about using influencer management tools like Humans, like Webfluential, we've got a few that are in South Africa, is that tool or that platform gives a brand so much more. So for example, Humans will be able to look at how many of your followers are known as suspicious followers or potentially fake followers? How your audience interacts? Is your interaction very high? Is your engagement very high? Impressions, that sort of stuff. And what your audience is interested in. So those analytics tools give you all of that, even if you have a measly 5,000 followers or 2,000 followers or whatever.
But you're still reaching the right audience.
Precisely.
Because you don't want to waste marketing money on speaking to people who's not even interested in Zara, you know, or can't afford to buy from Zara. Yeah.
So that's what's beneficial of using tools like that, is it gives you access to information that you won't necessarily have from an influencer. Like, you can't walk up onto the average Joe that's on the street and go, hi, you're an influencer, how many of your followers are fake?
Well, you know, there's a huge epidemic at the moment, people buying real followers. on Instagram, which is really difficult to sift out. Like, the remember those analytics tools came out? They don't pick up when you buy real followers.
Yes.
So then you need these, like, referentials and humans, because they've got access to see if there was a sudden uptake in influence. Because then it's a bit, like, suspect.
It's a bit dodgy.
Yeah. Especially with the algorithm.
Well, it depends if you posted a naked photo of yourself or not.
Well, Zuckerberg would have taken that off very quickly.
Hey, Kim Kardashian can do it, so can we.
I don't know if I've got her bum.
Most of you know that Influential is our podcast sponsor. But did you know that my co-host Anne heads up the agency? And that is the first ever boutique agency in South Africa that specializes in developing strategy for influencer marketing. Anne and her team are experts in the field, and have spent years honing their skills and knowledge about influencer marketing and at some of the country's biggest PR and media agencies. The moment that you think you might want an influencer campaign, make sure to call or email them first, because without strategy, it might not have the outcomes that you would like and are looking for. In addition to talking all things influence on this podcast, and also puts together the fantastic Influential newsletter that comes out every month. And this is another way for you to keep up to date with the industry. The link to latest newsletter is in the show notes. Check it out. And if you like, please subscribe. Anne's contact details are also on there. Let's keep the conversation flowing. So that's a staggering number of influencers on a campaign like this, 600 to be precise. How were they managed? And what was the back and forth process between them and humans? Were there collaborators in place? And what was the process, the management process?
So what I really enjoyed about this, because this was the first campaign that I did with humans, and I did it on purpose. Like, I applied for it on purpose because I'm like, let's see how this works. If this is actually going to be a good experience for me as an influencer and me as a person who could potentially use humans on behalf of another brand for my clients. So I was like, let's do it. Let's sign up. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
Along with every step of the way that we went from acceptance to sending vouchers, to getting details, et cetera, et cetera. There was always a human on the other side of humans.
All right. Oh.
So there was always someone that was messaging you through the app, sending you updates, helping you through the process, approving your photos, that sort of stuff. And it was really, really quick. So from the first thing, cool, I was accepted as an influencer.
Yeah.
I got a nice little message saying, hi, Creo, we're so excited to have you on board. What's going to happen in the next couple of days? You're going to receive your Zara voucher, and the store goes online for the influencers from X date.
Okay.
So quick question from there. The kind of communication you receive from the human on humans, was that from the human side or was it from client side that had access to the app?
It was, that specific campaign was from the human side of things. So it was an account manager that was then dealing with the influencers on behalf of the client. But it wasn't so much giving client information, it was more logistical information.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
So the first one was, yes, you've been accepted. We're sending you this voucher and you need to use it on this date on the store.
Yeah.
The next message was, cool, can we have your physical address, obviously, because we want to deliver the stuff to you. Then it was, cool, now that you've received it, send us your first post for approval. So you'd send it through. Within 12 hours, even less, my post was approved and ready to be posted.
Yeah.
How many posts was expected of everyone for this campaign?
It was between 3 and 4, and the rest was completely up to you. And you could add an extra.
Yeah.
It was Instagram.
Okay, so your main platform was Instagram.
And also, was the content creation process prescriptive from clients' perspective? And how important is it for brands to sort of like be hands-off? And influencer marketing.
To a point, you need to be both. You need to kind of have a little bit of information and direction for the influencers to use. And at the same time, still give them freedom. So the posts were cool. Let's say, for example, you need to do 3 posts. The first one would be receiving your package with your voucher.
Right.
The second one would be using the online store, which is the point of it. And the third one would be actually posting a photo with you wearing your garment or receiving your garment.
So that's like nice storytelling.
Oh, okay.
Nice kind of experience from start to finish. But it didn't say, cool, you need to wear your item standing next to a waterfall sipping on a cocktail.
And smiling like
a
that.
A pink cocktail with your jacket. Yeah.
They didn't go into that description.
Okay, but they were giving structure on.
Yes, but they were saying, we need three. We need the three steps. We need the receiving or the ordering process, the voucher process, the ordering process, and then the receiving process, which is the experience that a normal everyday user would get through the store.
Yeah.
So you need it to follow the storyline, but do it in your own creative style.
And and I feel like that's also very important for brands to understand. They sometimes are so controlling when it comes to influencers that you're getting inauthentic content, and that content ends up not doing well. And we always say, like, guys, let your influencers be your creative directors. They know what works for their audiences.
Precisely.
Give them that freedom to do good for you.
Don't give them a little bit of a ring.
No. You have to have structure and rules. Like, don't do this, don't do that. But within that, you need to give them freedom.
Which also, having the approval process through the posts really then make it worth it. Because, cool, we're giving you creative freedom. Go forth into the world. Have at it. Conquer. Do whatever you need to do. But just send us before you post. So that if someone is doing something negative with the brand, you can quickly go, listen, maybe tweak.
No, that is incredibly important, that. Because you never know. You might get you trying to be Kim Kardashian that day.
And then you see my bum with my fuchsia pink jacket.
You know. You'll get fantastic engagement.
Yeah.
But it doesn't align with the brand value.
Precisely.
Exactly. Correct. So this campaign rolled out on Twitter and Instagram. Is there a reason why it didn't go onto Facebook? Seeing as it's the most popular social media channel in South Africa.
So you know what's interesting at the moment is, and a lot of people can see it, even if you're a general user of Facebook or Instagram. So Facebook has become very centered around boosted posts, advertising.
Just say it as it is. What giving money to Facebook. Yeah.
Precisely.
Pay to play.
Exactly. So your organic reach and your organic content is not performing as well as it used to.
Yeah.
It's becoming a little bit of a secondary thing. Like, how many of your friends do you not see in your timeline nowadays?
Yeah.
Unless I am actively actually engaging with them a lot of times, then you don't. So I make a point, if I've got really good friends, I go to their profile, look at a post or two, comment or do something just so I can see the update.
Precisely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So to avoid that and to kind of, you know, capitalize on our nano influencers that don't have, you know, the access to boosting or don't have that big audiences, keeping it on Instagram and keeping it on Twitter was a safer way of doing it and more beneficial for the brand.
All right.
Yeah. So obviously we followed the campaign because we see it coming and we're like, what is this? And it's just picking up so much traction, especially on Twitter. I'm going to admit, I saw more traction on Twitter than I did on Instagram. But I think it's because Twitter has that ability to create conversation.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So Meltwater actually did a really nice analysis of your campaign where the day before the online store launch, you had 42.3 million people reach, which is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously when all the influencers were engaging.
Correct.
And they were getting that conversation. And on the day, it got 12.3 million, which is also, it's like a brand's dream to get those kind of stats, right? So Zara trended at number one the whole day of the launch. Was great, almost of it. And Dear South Africa, which was the official hashtag, was at number six, which is also great. So what we've noticed was the big conversation was more around the actual campaign or the influencers that was used on the campaign. People were really praising Zara for opening up the market to more micro influencers than going the usual route of using the celebs or the megas or the macros, which a lot of brands would do. So we saw that more spurned it to trend than actually the online store or the other objective sitting like pushing people to the store. Would you say that was one of the objectives of the campaign, to kind of start that in very important conversation?
I think it was a byproduct of the campaign that did no harm and only did benefit.
Definitely.
I think also it's something that brands need to look out for when they do campaigns like this, is things that are in their peripheral vision is the word I was looking for. It's other little things that can help benefit the campaign.
Yes.
So in South Africa at the moment, we have this massive conversation that is going on. Open up the industry. Why is not, you know, everyone has the ability to become an influencer, blah, 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 blah. So if something like this can benefit the campaign, why not?
And I 100% agree with you. And I think it is such an important conversation. Like, say, everyone's talking about it, but no brand is actually doing anything
precisely
about it. Yeah. So Zara kind of took that upon themselves, whether it was intentional or not, but they open up that industry and people were like, thank goodness, maybe more brands will do that now. Great.
Yeah, so we also noticed that most of the content that was pushed out went magged as an ad or sponsored or as a gift.
Naughty.
Most of it. Was this, especially since the new regulations came into being a couple of months back, isn't it?
We actually had the lady from ARB.
Yeah. Do you have any knowledge as to why some of the influencers decided to be naughty?
So I think, you know what it is that it was specified in our requirements that you must put an ad or put in sponsored. It was one of the requirements for the post. But I think that came into play when we used people that are not necessarily influencers and not in the market in that field.
But
hear me out on this. Oh, yeah. If you ask any nano influencer walking on the street, any person walking on the street right now, what is the rules and requirements for boosted or sponsored ads?
Obviously, they're not going to know.
No one is going to know.
Obviously.
People don't even know how the roads rules work. Are they going to know?
That's a whole different podcast right there.
So I think a lot of the people that are not used to it, and this is their first marketing campaign that they were involved in, they influenced the thing. For them, cool, it was a requirement, but never used it before, don't know what the rules are, which again, I know where you're going with this and I can see where am I going with this. It's the brand and human's responsibility.
Yes, when they had the approve, let me approve this, just go to like, sorry, just add or sponsor on there, great stuff.
So again, I agree with you, but to manage that for 600 people.
It was your choice to do 600 people, you need to abide by the rules.
Exactly.
And at the moment, no one's really, and you had this conversation with the lady that was here, really policing it.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's peer-to-peer kind of policing is going on. But surely, I just feel like as a brand and as a platform, you need to know those rules and put them into
play. And implement them.
It was definitely, it was specified. Humans and Zara specified that was what needed to happen. But controlling 600 people, I don't think it's as easy as we think.
No, look, the human factor is always there. And
I could totally send you something. You go, yes, Kriya, that's amazing, approved.
Please add sponsored Kriya. Because weren't you one of the ones that did
it? I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know.
Sorry, people.
I don't know how those rules work either. What are those rules? But then let's say, for example, you do approve something that I've sent you and it's got ad and it's got sponsored in it. And then I don't post it with it.
No, 100%. And that human factor is so unreliable.
It always comes into play,
It will come into play.
Yeah.
So what was your key takeout for this?
You know what? I think one of the key things is obviously what a great job Zara did with it.
Yeah, 100%.
And the fact...
all the praise for
that. Yeah. And I think the fact that the online store got the attention that it wanted and needed.
Yeah.
And I think that the South African public was very, very excited that now, look, Zara is online.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
One of my personal key takeouts from it is that it was great to work with such a wide base of people. Because I'm one of those people that's very supportive of... you don't have to be a Bonang, you don't have to be a Mini, you don't have to be a Mups to have influence. Yes. I don't have the 10 million followers that they have. Like, I mean, I'm barely pushing 6,000 on Instagram.
Which is still great.
Yeah. Which is still awesome. But I can sit here and you watched my whole stories from this weekend.
I did.
And so did you, Cinti.
Yes, of course.
And the chances of you guys probably going to visit the lodge that I went to go visit, it's something that you might look at in the future.
Look, December's coming up.
And the first thing I want to do is do that pool shot.
Yes.
That's perfect.
For all of those listening, it's a beautiful pool overlooking a watering hole in Makalali.
Yeah.
So the thing is that you don't have to have millions of followers, but you need to have an influence on other people.
Look, we speak about that all the time and also with our clients. It's like, and a lot of times it's an education job, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like brands see, they just go follow account. That person must be super influential because they've got like millions of followers. Where the truth is, they might just be really popular. Might not be that influential, but someone with 5,000 or 2,000, even 200 followers might have people following them that are going like, I love this person's content, I trust them, they're so authentic, whatever they in their niche is like telling me to do or what to do, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And that's the guys you want.
Precisely.
Yeah.
So from where we sit, and then
in the studio.
Yeah, the Zara campaign for us becomes a test case of how to run and implement a large-scale influencer marketing campaign. What advice or pieces of advice could you have for marketers that want to run something that's big?
I think you need to understand whether you can manage this campaign on your own or if you need someone like a Humans or a Webfluential to help you manage the campaign.
So be realistic.
Yeah.
Think about what your objectives are, how many people you want to obviously be involved, and if you have the capacity and knowledge to do it.
Yes.
A lot of people think, oh, cool, I watch this famous person on TV all the time, and she looks like such a great fun and sport. I want to use her for my campaign. But then she's like me and doesn't respond to emails for like 4 days straight.
Yeah, guys, just for context, just before we started the mics, we were like, Kriya, there's three emails waiting for you and a WhatsApp. Can you please get back to me?
She said she saw my Friday one. And
but in her defense, she was in the bush, guys. Yes, she has zero bars. There.
So yes, and then it becomes very difficult to work with them because they're either really busy, they're not available, they don't know how to deal with brands.
Yeah.
And they're great content creators. They're not necessarily good at the admin side.
Yeah.
So you need to understand whether that works for you and whether you as a brand will be able to manage that. If you've realistically seen that you can't involve somebody else, then you need to specify exactly what you want to get out of this campaign. And a lot of brands go, oh yeah, cool, we just want brand exposure.
You're like, what does that mean for you?
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. Exactly, so what Zara did that was very nice is they created the story and they created the journey that me as an influencer would follow, that you as a normal person shopping on the app would follow.
And it's also so much easier for an influencer when you break it down, right? You know exactly your first post needs to be about this, your second post, third post, and it takes again that schlep out where you go like, oh, I really don't want to do this, oh, I need to do this, let me just do it, and then it's half-hazard job.
And then you need to obviously look at the very smart thing that Zara did is because Zara is now delivering to every far corner of the globe or South Africa, is that they went to those people. Because some poor person in Tiddiesby or Koffiefontein or whatever the case is not going to be able to drive to mainland and get a piece of clothing.
Yeah.
True. But now they can do it online. So they did it very smart in that aspect.
Yeah.
I did like that aspect. Because it's for everyone.
Yes. Yes.
Very inclusive. Okay, Kriya, that was fantastic and insightful as always. Thank you.
Yeah.
But if our followers and our listeners wants to get to you, where can they follow you?
Cool. So from a personal point of view, I am Kriya G on everything. You'll find me Kriya G on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then the business, if you want to contact me from a business point of view, it's Tridens Media. T-R-I-D-E-N-S Media.
Well done.
Tridens Media, and yeah, so if you want to contact me from any, it's also Tridens Media on all physical platforms.
Fantastic.
And for the best influencer marketing strategy in South Africa and beyond, where can our audience find you?
I paid him to say that. For Influential, we are spelled with the N, not the I. Influential, we are on Twitter, we are on LinkedIn, and it's Influential SA. And personally, it's Ann Dolly everywhere, because consistency is key when people want to find you.
And for the podcast?
For the podcast, Mr. Sinti?
On Facebook, Influencer Marketing.
There we go.
Yeah.
And when you click on the link, guys, there's literally every fashionable way you can listen to this. Spotify, Apple Music, everywhere you
can
find
this. But also what we do is on all of our show notes, you've got our contacts.
Of course.
Where you can
But my point is, when you open it, just subscribe wherever you listen to us. Subscribe there. But yeah, we'll obviously link everything in show notes and everything for Kriya so you can find her and have a conversation.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. This was Coffee Conversation about Influencer Marketing.
And interesting.
Kriya, thank you so much for joining
us. So
let's
much,
have
Kriya.
A coffee and chat some more. To everybody else at home, in your cars, at the gym, wherever you're catching us from, we love you, but we have to leave you. Until next time, goodbye.
Goodbye.